It's the Gadget Grill for April 26, 2009. My name is Lee Stark.
My name is Gary Stark. Good evening, everybody. How are all of our listeners? I hope that this day finds you fit, well, healthy, and
warm. It gets a bit cold out there.
Yes, it does. It's getting a bit cool out there. The temperature right now is 15 degrees.
Wow.
You know, isn't that cool?
It is cool. It's nice enough to have the top down, right?
Oh, I'll have the top down any temperature, you know.
I know, because you did it in snow when I was a kid. Thank you for that. It's forever made me
feel. And you've never forgiven me.
Nope, never will. You know, that's not the sort of thing you do to your kids.
I think it is.
Yeah, of course you do. This is my dad, by the way. Hi, I'm Lee Stark, and you're listening to the Gadget Grill. A lot of technology served up with cayenne. This week, cayenne and all sorts of peppers because it's the New Orleans Jazz Festival this week.
The New Orleans Jazz Festival started on Friday, and I am really upset that I am not there. But hey,
yeah, but you're here with us.
I'm here with you, and what could be better than being with my son, spending quality time with my son in a hot, steamy radio studio?
Being in New Orleans, probably. That could be better. Yeah, that would be better.
Hot, steamy New Orleans would be better, yes. Yeah. Spending 3 o'clock in the morning at Café du Mans, Café Olay, Plate of Beignets.
Don't make yourself think of it. You're not
there. Visit to Laura's Candies.
Don't make yourself think of it. Instead, talk about what's going to be on the show tonight.
You can do that. I'm going to pretend I'm in New Orleans.
Well, you shouldn't, because later on tonight we're actually talking about online. Well, backing up online, backing up your information in a way that is essentially safer and
a way that provides you with a different way of keeping your important stuff accessible to you off-site storage, but using your ISP for off-site storage. A couple of caveats, but it's basically something that you should think about.
Yeah, so we'll be talking about that later on. There's also a review. We've got a new phone in the studio with us.
It is a new phone. It says on the sticker, new phone.
It does stay on the sticker, and it's just telling me that the paint job's not so good. in any case, we're going to be looking at the LG Arena today, which is...
Isn't that where Simon and Garfunkel are playing? That's the Acer Arena, I'm sorry.
Wow, you're on fire with the bad jokes already.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, cool.
Somebody put me out with a cat.
Oh, I don't think the cat will take you.
No, that's true.
In any case, that's what we're looking at. And did you know there's a new type of ink for tattooing that can actually turn your body into a circuit?
Not to be confused with a circus. My body's a circus.
Your body's a circus. Well, later on we'll be talking about that in the news as well.
That's an interesting concept.
Isn't it? Yeah. It's not really a tattoo. It's more of a temporary paint that you put on yourself. We'll be talking about that later on. We don't really need to now because we've talked about it now.
But we'll get into details.
Some detail about that.
Why do we bother?
Why do I even try to make this show sound more interesting than it is? Seriously, why do I try? But with you here ruining it for me, why do I try?
I don't know. Well, at least I'm doing my job of ruining it for you.
Indeed you are. And
I do it well.
You do it very well. And right now we're going to get into some Aaron McCauley with Pony, so you can't ruin that for me.
No, I can't.
It's the Gadget Grill on 88.1 Radio 2RDJ. If you're listening to us on 88.1 FM, you can also head to www.radio2rdj.com to listen to us. And as well as always, you can head to our website, www.gadgetgrill.com.au, to find out anything we're talking about tonight and all the other nights we've been here. I think this is our 21st or 22nd show, I can't really
21
remember.
21 today.
No, I think it's 22, actually. Oh, yeah, we've lost the ability to count. Yeah.
Yes.
But I guess we were programmers, so we never really had the ability to count. Oh. I don't even know how to say ability anymore. I'm slurring it.
Well, you slur everything.
I'm slurring everything. And right now it's time for the news. Let's slur the news. Can I start?
You may start.
Can we give a big congratulations to Apple?
Don't we always?
Oh, can we give a bigger congratulations?
We can give an apple to the teacher.
We can. We don't have a teacher. This week, 1 billion apps have been sold on Apple's App Store.
There's a lot of apps happening there.
1 billion downloads. How many of those had to do with fart applications?
Probably about half of them.
Yeah, probably. 1 billion apps. Wow. Yeah.
That's actually quite a lot, and that's a lot of money that's going through.
That is a load of money.
Through the iTunes store, through the App store, and also a lot of that money then goes into the hands of the independent developers.
That's right. They're very good about that. Which is a good thing. I've got to be honest, I think I've probably spent around $50 to $60 on an Apple apps, which worries me completely.
Especially knowing some of the apps that you have purchased.
Exactly. Yeah, that's right. You can go now. I'll just sit quietly in the corner.
On the subject of wasting money, remember Alberto?
Let's keep this to something people can relate to.
Okay. How about $62,000 US to download a movie? That's what happened to somebody named Alberto, who told his data roaming tale of woe on the air to H&L money expert Clark Howard on CNN the other day. Apparently, he downloaded the movie WALL-E for his nephew.
He downloaded? He did something entirely, highly illegal?
No, this was legal.
So he downloaded through iTunes or something or for Apple?
Yeah.
Okay.
Downloaded WALL-E for his nephew while they were vacationing in Mexico. He did it over his data card and ended up having to get a bill for $62,000 from his wireless carrier when he returned home.
Hmm.
They were very, very kind, though. They saw the problem and they reduced the bill from $62,000 to $17,000.
I think it should be noted to anyone listening, all two of you, that if you plan to download movies through services, never use wireless. Well, you can if you're using your wireless connection, make sure you have something like 1 or 2 gig limits so that you can download it safely without being charged. Well, I'm going to say it. I think through the arse is the correct term here.
Yeah, well, poor Alberto.
Oh, it's $62,000 to download WALL-E, a movie that probably cost him $5 on Apple service.
Well, yeah, yeah.
Wow.
I know.
That's disturbing.
That's an expensive way to see a movie, isn't it?
Can they actually force him to pay that?
Theoretically, yes.
Wow.
Send him bankrupt.
That's amazing. I've got one based on movies as well. You know, Warner Brothers and companies who do things like Harry Potter, The Matrix, Blade Runner. They had HD DVDs, and a lot of people had HD DVDs. I guess they were the last ones with the HD DVD movement before it fell on Toshiba.
Yes.
Yeah. They've got a new system in America that will let Americans, it's not applicable to Australians, trade.
Yet.
Yeah, yet. I don't think they'll do it here.
No.
They're letting Americans trade their HD DVDs with a couple of dollars or a few dollars for brand new Blu-ray editions of that movie.
And the shipping costs, how much?
$4.95 per movie and $6.95 or $8.95 per shipping and handling.
And what does the actual movie cost in Blu-ray?
In Blu-ray in America, probably about $20. So you're saving about $7.
Wow.
But
Such generosity.
I think what actually disturbs me more is that the HD DVDs, like I've been playing with them, because we've got both of them at home.
Yep.
And I've been playing with them, so is my brother, that Blu-ray is actually not as good quality as HD DVD. HD DVD had technically less data on the disc, but HD DVDs look better and have more features. So I'm very confused at how Blu-ray have managed to screw it up.
Oh, it's the same thing with Beta and VHS.
Better technology
lost to the marketing.
Yeah.
Which is a shame.
Well, yeah, which is strange, though, for this
and
one.
And
yeah.
Basically, Sony lost the Beta war.
Well, they didn't lose Betacam because it's still used in industry.
No, but they did lose that war, the VHS versus Beta, and they were damn sure that they weren't going to lose this one.
Yeah, and it's just a shame because HD DVD is a better quality disc, but, you know, it's how it goes. What have you got?
What have I got? Remember a few weeks ago we were talking about Spinvox on Skype?
That's right, yes.
Optus are now going to start
offering... Hold on. You can check our website for that story, which we even provide a link to it later on.
There you go. Optus are now going to offer Spinvox voice-to-text for their mobile customers.
Oh, that's not bad.
That's going to be very cool. And apparently Telstra are also offering it to its mobile customers. So Spinvox is getting around and it's good technology and I'm glad to see that it's being used.
That's cool. I wish we still had that sample. We could have played exactly what it is, but I guess we'll have to stick with that. Did you know, Dad, that you can turn your body into a circuit? I already told you this, didn't I?
Yeah, okay.
Bear, this is what it's called. Bear is a paint.
It's a frightening thing when you look at me.
It's spelled that way too. But you're not the bear that gets all grisly. No,
barely.
No, of course not. It's a new type of paint. It's non-toxic. It's designed to paint onto your skin, and it will turn that paint, or turn that part of your skin, into a conductive surface. At this point, I'll just show this. I'll hold this up to the microphone because, you know, everyone can, of course, see it.
Oh, that looks great. Yeah.
The idea of this is that you could paint essentially designs on your body and have them used in artistic circumstances, say, if you wanted to turn into a neon light, walk around. It'd be great for Halloween, actually. You could come as a circuit board.
And, you know, you could use this... painting. No, well, you could actually paint circuits onto your car.
Yeah.
Onto your car.
Oh, no. But would it be? Maybe it's using the skin
as the conductive surface.
Then it wouldn't work on that unless you're going to coat your car in pig flesh, or human flesh. You know, whatever works for you.
I think I can find some human.
Yeah. What else have you got? Because I'm struggling here.
You're struggling. Okay. Well, so has Channel 9 been struggling?
Oh, they have, haven't they?
Yes. Ice TV have won their battle against Channel 9, and basically, the courts have said that listing a TV program guide, basically the name of a program and the day and time that's being played, is not a work of art. That's basically the upshot of that court case. Does that surprise you?
No, it doesn't. So for the people who don't actually know what ICE TV is, because I'm only half there, what is ICE TV?
ICE TV is an online program guide. You can subscribe to it, and you can get the up-to-date details of what's on all of your favourite TV channels, cable, a whole lot. And you can then use that to automatically program your recording device. So it will record, if you happen to like the Formula One car racing that started 20 minutes ago.
Which you're anxious to get out of the studio and watch. You wish we'd brought that TV, didn't you?
I could have brought a little TV card in here.
Oh, yeah, that wouldn't have been noticeable at all.
No.
Hey, Dad, read the news. Sorry, what?
Yeah. No, but you can actually have this program your TV viewing and TV recording automatically, which is pretty bloody good.
Mm.
And ICE TV does work fairly well. I've used it for a while. And
sorry, Dad, I was watching the Formula One.
Oh, that's okay. Where is Mark now?
I have no idea.
No, where are the...
They're in Malaysia.
Okay.
Right?
Yes. No, they're in Bahrain.
I have no idea where they are.
Right, you have no idea what you're talking about.
I'll talk about something else.
Go on.
In England, they've come up with some interesting software. At the University of East Anglia, I think I'm pronouncing that right.
Anglia is correct.
Okay.
It used to be a car, but now it's a suburb of England.
Right, of course. Of course you would know this. You holder of all useless information, my father,
Absolutely.
Okay. They've created a new type of software which can lip read. It doesn't just lip read on shapes, which are the mouth shapes, phenomes, E, R, U, the sort of thing you're doing right now without the tongue poking, of course. It's not just reading that. It can identify languages, including, ready for this, English, French, German, Arabic, Mandarin, Cantonese, Italian, Polish, and Russian, and it's based off of tongue, jaw, and lip movement.
Grazie.
Yeah, it would have worked that out, yeah. And they're actually thinking it'll be used by the deaf, comma, military and police organizations, as opposed to by deaf military police organizations. I can't hear you! I want to arrest you, but I just don't know what you're saying! Yeah.
What was that?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Okay. Hopefully we haven't made anyone deaf in the process of reading any of this information out.
I think that the listeners should listen very carefully while we play a little bit of
Ben Falls with a... You've got to learn to live with what you are. Like, Dad, you've got to learn to live with what you are. You can't watch the Formula One right now.
That's a shame.
Yeah, it is. Anyway, listen to the song. Radio 2RDJ. This is The Gadget Grill, one of Sydney's only technology radio show things. I'm running out of words.
I'm just going to let you sink.
Yeah, right. That's such a nice thing to do.
You know, you just stick your hand up and just say, help, please.
No, it's cool. I've got an F1 key. If I press F1 right now,
here comes up,
I get nothing because Apple doesn't quite support the F1.
Okay, if I press F1 key, I'll get the next song playing.
So you get don't do that because we're not ready for that yet.
No, we're not.
You know what we're ready for?
Tell me what you're ready for, and then I'll sing.
I think I'm ready for an ice cream, to be honest.
Ice cream?
Yeah, I'm ready for one of those new Golden Gay Time shakes they have at KFC. I'm not ready for that at all. I'm trying to lose weight, not destroy my body. Instead, we're going to talk about the... what are we talking about? This is your subject.
We're talking about using your ISP as a source of offsite storage.
Ah, that's right, of course, because you know it's not enough that you back up using hard drives or USB sticks, which you should be doing, you, listener. You should be backing up. I was backing up this afternoon.
I tried to back up the hard drive, but I couldn't find the reverse switch.
Wow, you're just filled with these, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
Yeah, can you just stop for a second and talk about the story?
Okay, let me talk about what we're talking about.
That's a good idea.
Okay, your ISP, that's the person who provides you with internet access. They often provide you with a deal whereby you get space where you can host your website.
It's a little bit dodgy here because a lot of Australian ISPs don't give you a lot.
They don't give you a lot, but they give you some, and it's usually several megabytes.
Yep.
And what you can do, if you like, is that you can actually use that for off-site storage. What that means is for some of your important documents, your important Word documents, spreadsheets, etc., information that you need to keep and that you need to have available to you basically no matter what, you can actually upload that into your web space, but make sure that you do it into an area that is not publicly accessible. If you do it somewhere that's publicly accessible, you will be in trouble.
Yes, of course.
Because that means, you know, there's your password, everybody can see it, there's your list of passwords. So it's probably not something that you want to do, put it into a public place. But apart from that, you can upload your important documents. And as long as you know how to get to it, then you can access it from your home, from work, from wherever you happen to be, whenever you happen to be there. If you can remember back, Lee, when you were going to high school back in Dallas.
What? Which one? Which high school? any of them?
You only went to one high school in Dallas.
I guess junior high is
good. If you remember when you had to do some PowerPoint presentations, we uploaded them to our web space back then. This is going back over 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And you would, when you got to school,
you'd download them
and had them available to you because they were too big to fit on the 3.5-inch floppy disks that we were using at the time, even at 1.4 megabytes.
That's true. And at that time, we only had ORB drives, which no one actually supported, or ZIP drives, which very few people supported.
Well, the school wouldn't let you use them there anyway.
No, they wouldn't, but I still would anyway.
And the USB sticks weren't invented at that time.
That's true.
So this was a very, very creative way of doing it. But so, you can upload your important documents to a non-public space in your web space at your ISP. Remember that if you change your ISP, get a copy of it first and move it across there. Move it across to your new space before you totally disable and don't have access to it, so you've got copies of it. But it's a good, reliable way. The one other aspect of it that is important, of course, is that storage is always backed up on a regular basis for you.
Well, yeah, hopefully,
it should be.
Yeah, no, I guess one of the things that you also have to be aware of, services are beginning to operate from companies like Norton's part of their 360 service?
Norton 360 gives you an offsite
a 2-gig limit. It's basically been designed so that you can upload your important documents. So,
into the cloud.
I mean, obviously, yeah, into the cloud, that's right, the cloud computing. It's not really cloud computing what they're doing. I mean, it's offsite backup. That would not be what I would call cloud computing.
No, it's not.
Cloud computing
is... But you can use it like it might be the cloud.
No, cloud computing, for people who aren't aware, is basically a way of making sure that your computer is always online or your files are always in a central location like an internet service so you can download them. It's the idea of cloud computing is basically what we were talking about with portable applications, having a computer always there online without having a computer necessarily with you.
Exactly.
But there are also other options, like you're not going to store your pornography on the Norton service. You're not storing your pornography there, but you'd be storing your documents.
We all know where Lee's storing
it. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I think mine quite overcomes that. Anyway.
As it happens, Peter sent me his secret link for his pornography just the other day.
It's in the shed, isn't it?
It's in the shed. Peter keeps his pornography in the shed.
That's wonderful. That explains why the shed smells so bad.
He's not paying attention.
Of course he's
not. He's in the other studio there and he's not paying attention.
In any case, another option if you if if you're doing this, not just your ISP, if you happen to be using web hosting in places like America or Australia, you're likely to have extra space with them. And in those instances, especially if you're using something like American web services, which often give you something like...
3 million terabytes of storage.
Useless amounts of space for very cheap price on shared servers. If you're in that sort of situation where you're paying $10 a month and getting that ridiculous amount of space, then it would be a good idea for you to back up on there.
One other caveat that I have to mention, of course,
mm.
and that is that if you're using an ISP that charges you for uploads as well as downloads...
Indeed.
Be careful.
It doesn't affect us as much in Australia, because most Australian ISPs, I think with the exception of Telstra and Optus, have cottoned on to the fact that people don't like this very much.
Yeah, and Telstra and Optus, well, we won't talk about
that. Yeah, of course. However, American, if you're actually operating from America and say you want to back up inside America, most American ISPs seem to chuck an issue with it. But yeah, a recommendation, so back up on hard drives, back up on USB sticks, back up on DVDs and CDs if you can, and also...
to your ISP.
To your ISP and onto the cloud. We've got an Australian band up next. This is an independent band, Found at Sea, with Fictions.
Jazz. It's not for everybody. It's better than that. Whether your taste is trad, blues, straight ahead, hard bop, bebop, New Orleans funk, or Afro-Cuban, we play it for you. Every weekday, 11 till 1. Here on Radio 2 RDJ FM 88.1 or on the internet, www.radio2rdj.com.
Radio 2 RDJ. This is the Gadget Grill. Ooh, a bit too loud there. This is the Gadget Grill with Lee Stark, which is me, and Gary Stark, who is currently changing mini discs over there. You're there, right?
Am I? Where am I? I can't remember where I am.
I think
must
we've
have
done this
in...
joke like 21 times now.
Let me look in the mirror.
And
oh, no, it cracked.
It cracked because you looked into it, is that right? Or it cracked That's... It cracked because you dropped it, one of them? I don't know.
All of the above.
All of the above. Right now we're looking at a review, because we haven't done a good review in... Well, we haven't done a review.
We haven't done a good review.
Thanks for that. Yeah, that makes me feel really good as a technology journalist there. Right now we're looking at the LG Arena, which I'm holding up to the mic, and no one can obviously see because we don't have video cameras in the studio yet, unless they've put them in and haven't told us.
No, because
no?
That'd be me.
Okay. Anyway, we're looking at the LG Arena, which is a smaller than iPhone-like phone. It's basic. I guess you'd call this as one of the iClones. It's not really, but it is.
It is, yeah. It's trying to be an iClone. The user interface is somewhat iPhone-ish with some differences in the way that it's the details of it are implemented.
That's right. Instead of running on Windows CE, which is what a lot of them do, this is running on the flash-based interfaces that made things like the LG Renoir, that 8-megapixel camera phone they did a few months ago.
LG seems to like doing things with the flash interface, don't they?
Yeah, they do. And Samsung have done it once before with the F480. And it's actually not bad this time around. It's fast, reasonably. They've included also a 3D rotating cube interface that you can
which actually looks quite usable.
It does look good. And it functions pretty well. I think it's a bit slow in some areas. It's not quite fast enough. It's much easier if you hit the little button that looks like a dice and go into that whole menu system that you can switch left and right or rotate into landscape mode and have the accelerometer pick up and see all the icons. That's really cool. It looks like it's pulling quite a lot from the iPhone. You can see design where it's gone, you know. Okay, obviously...
That's a good idea. Let's cheat. Let's steal it.
I wouldn't say stealing, but they've improved some areas. I certainly like browsing
Let's
through.
Plagiarize.
It's not plagiarizing. It's improving. It's improving. I certainly like how they've handled things like switching through the menus. You don't actually switch through menus here. You just rotate different sections, and that's cool.
That is actually quite effective.
Yeah.
I like that.
Also, the use of haptic feedback, which is a little sensation when you touch things in this phone. No, it's not that. It's more like a bzzz sensation.
Oh.
Yeah, when you
like a little hand buzzer that you used to have.
It's a bit like a hand buzzer, actually. It's a little vibration every time you touch something in this. As a way of making you feel like you're actually touching something, you get a vibration. So when you play with the FM transmit or the FM receiver, you actually push the dial and you feel it sort of vibrating or moving, and you can feel the knobs in it. So it's really cool. It's got a lot of cool features. 5-megapixel camera. One thing I noticed a few days ago that was really impressive, FM transmitter.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you can transmit to your radio in your car.
Right.
So that's kind of cool. It's actually got great sound. What are you doing?
Yep. Just keep talking.
You're going to play good vibrations, aren't you? That's really fair. You want to get to the middle of that song where they actually sing about good vibrations? You're trying to do that. Yeah. It's not a bad phone. It takes the 3.5mm jack, and it's very much like an iPhone, but quite well built. I actually like the tapered glass on the front.
Right.
You're a prick sometimes.
I know.
Yeah. Tapered glass means you can put it on in your pocket, and your keys won't scratch the top of it, which is kind of cool. Something that the iPhone doesn't quite suffer well with, to be honest. You have to.
The iPhone doesn't suffer from getting the key.
You don't put it in the same pocket as your keys, do you?
Yes, I do.
Do you?
Yes.
Your keys must be blunt as hell.
Yes.
In any case, some of the things against it, however, the music control seems a bit lacking, to be honest. Like when you take your headphones out, the music keeps playing through the speakers, which is kind of weak. Likewise, I couldn't find shuffle. Maybe I wasn't looking in the right place, but I just couldn't find options like shuffle in there.
Okay.
I thought that the music option was hard to get around looking at albums. It's got a proprietary port. At least LG have done the right thing by including a sliding mechanism as opposed to that irritating one they had to pull up on the old ones.
Yeah.
But it's got a proprietary
headphone jack?
Oh, no, the headphone jack is 3.5mm. That's fine.
Okay, that's good.
How you charge it and how you transfer data across, which you're going to need to do because the micro SD is underneath the where the battery is.
Which is really useful.
It's a really pain to get to. Yeah. It's just one of the worst phones to open up. It takes a proprietary port, so you're going to have to bring that cable with you wherever you go. There's no app store. It has this app system on it, which can run things like Google Maps, but you can already see that with Apple's app store passing 1 billion apps and with a whole bunch of apps, you know, BlackBerry having their own, Android having their own sort of thing. The fact that LG have gone for something that doesn't quite have its own app store, it seems almost moot. You know, what's the point? And, you know, you can't exactly log into Twitter easily. There's no app for that. You know, same with, ICQ or MSN. There's a Google Maps app. There's a proper GPS inside this. But on that front, I don't know. I did like it a lot. I thought it had better sound than the iPhone, a lot better sound. It uses Dolby.
Okay, well, that's saying something, because sound is good.
And this sound is better. The Dolby really does work, and it plays movies quite well, although it seems to have issues with some file formats.
What about the keyboard?
Keyboard's interesting. It has two. If you switch it into landscape mode by flipping it on its side, you get the QWERTY keyboard. It's not bad.
Okay.
If you switch to portrait mode, which is like holding a phone like normal, you get the keypad like on a mobile phone, which is a little bit weird. And you know, typing, you got to press the same key several times. I'm not sure. I kind of wish there was a QWERTY option there, but it works pretty well.
Okay.
I'm quite surprised. It's not a reasonably good phone. It's a great phone, actually, barring that of the app thing, which actually kind of had me bothered a bit.
So no app store, the
music control's a bit weird.
Music control and the proprietary ports.
Yeah, also the color on the back. The front is great because that tapered glass, but the back wears in after a week. I'm already seeing a bit of paint decay. Can you see that there?
I can see that.
Yeah. It just seems a little
weird. And the other thing with that, of course, was getting the back off was troublesome.
Oh, that was painful. That took 10 minutes for me, and I tried showing you, and it's really weird. It's just so tight. I mean, maybe that's a good thing for keeping it secure, but I'm just not sure.
It'll be interesting to see whether when you drop it.
If it comes out, exactly. I don't quite have the ability to do a drop test here.
On my Nokia that when I dropped it, the back had always come off, and the battery would go one direction, the back would go in another direction.
I guess that's one of the benefits of things like the Apple one where it's completely sealed.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I don't know. I like it a lot. I thought it was a great phone, and I really think that a lot of people are going to enjoy it.
Okay, does it make phone calls?
Yes, it makes phone calls, and it's actually really good at making phone calls. And it has an option in there for video call, which unfortunately I couldn't do because no one I know would ever do video calling. But you know what? It comes in. Maybe it'll be good.
So next time when we ask LG for a sample phone, we've got to ask
two
of them
so we can try the video call functionality. That's right, yeah.
But then they got a supplier because they didn't supply with the SIM card.
That's true. I'm using my supplier for that. Yeah, wonderful. We're going to get free SIM cards off them. I'm sure that'll be really easy to do. Yeah, no, the LG Arena, highly recommend it. It's surprisingly good. Try it out at the phone store. You probably will like it. Right now, I've got a song.
No, we haven't.
Oh, we don't have enough time for the song.
We don't have enough time for that song.
Bugger.
You've been talking too long, but that's okay.
That's okay. We've got a review done. How much time do we have left?
We've got about that long, maybe a little bit less.
Wow, that long, eh?
Yeah.
I couldn't even see the number. It's that good.
It is that good, yeah.
In that case, we're not playing the song, bugger.
No, we're not going to play that song. So if you wanted to listen to Adele, Writer's Rain, I'm sorry, Adele.
We'll play it next week. At least it means it's less work for me to do next week.
If you think so.
Yeah, it is less work. I'll play Adele Writer's Rain, because she's really cool. She sounds a lot like Lily Allen.
Okay, but what it does mean is we've got less than a minute.
Oh, wow.
Hang on.
No, we don't. There's no way of less than a minute. You said it's 9:48. Hang on.
Oh, I see what's happening here.
Have you done something wrong again?
No. I see what's happened here. It's interesting.
What'd you do? Can you, because I'm trying to run a radio show here, and at the moment you're leaving me with dead air. And I don't want to talk out through my arse. I do that enough.
Yeah, that's interesting what the computer has done to me.
What's it done?
What has it done to me?
What have you done to yourself?
No.
What have you done to yourself? Did you delete the music this time?
No, I didn't delete the music.
Okay.
It's just the throwing...
You screwed it up with good vibrations,
yes,
didn't you?
I did.
Thank you.
Yes, I did.
So we don't have enough time to play Adele from all this talking?
We may have enough time to play Adele, but a very quick sign out afterwards. So let's play Adele, Writer's Rain.
That's not Adele, that's good vibrations. What are you doing?
Let's do that.
That's a bit better. This is Adele, yes. Writer's Rain. Crikey, Dad.
To be right as the rain is better when something is wrong. You get excitement in your bones and everything.
88.1 Radio 2RDJ, this is The Gadget Grill, signing off with Lee Stark.
And Gary Stark. We'll be back next week.
We'll be back next week, and I've got a program now, one extra song. Thanks for that, Dad.
That's my pleasure, Lee. That is absolutely my pleasure.
Next week, we're talking about batteries, but right now, take a listen to one of our favorites from the New Orleans Jazz Festival, actually from last year's one, Trombone Shorty and Orleans Avenue with Joey's Wet Dreams.
And if you listen closely, you'll hear me applauding.
Yeah, you will. Have a good week.
Put your hands right here. Everybody now.